Man, it is so good to see some of you. Every week it seems like I'm seeing faces that I haven't seen for several months as people start to come back. We do estimate that still probably well over half our congregation is viewing these services online. So there is a considerable number of you that are staying home and taking those precautions. And we hope that this is able to minister to you as you go through these times, and we look forward to when we can all get back together. And we need each other, don't we? We need to be with one another. It's cool that we can look at things through a screen, but it's so much better to be face-to-face. So I'm praying that healing comes to our nation, to our community, and gives us all that opportunity to get back together, all of us in person, very soon. We are in Acts chapter 16 this morning. I invite you to turn there with me. Book of Acts chapter 16. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the promise that was made to us. And our Lord promised that we would not be left alone, we would not be orphans, that you would come to us. You'd give a helper to us. And so that beautiful promise was fulfilled, your Holy Spirit. Welcome here. I pray that your Spirit would illuminate truth from your word this morning. And I pray that your Spirit would do that in our lives day by day. So we listen to his voice day by day. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are studying the life of a spiritual giant here on Sunday mornings, the Apostle Paul, perhaps the most effective Christian missionary, defender of the faith that has ever lived. We've studied his upbringing, his background, his conversion, his preparatory years. And right now in our series, we're sort of following Paul along on his missionary journeys as recorded in the book of Acts. And we're learning what made him so effective, hoping that we can grab those qualities that Paul had and apply them to our lives. We've seen how Paul was flexible. Flexibility is such a need for us as Christians. We saw last week that he was the champion of that wonderful message of grace. Everywhere he went, he preached grace. This morning, I want you to notice how extremely sensitive Paul was to the leading of the Holy Spirit in his ministry and in his life. He is the Spirit-led apostle. Now, we pick it up here on his second missionary journey. Paul and his team are about to embark into uncharted territory with the gospel message. They're going to go to places where it's never been preached before, and they're sort of at a crossroads as we pick it up. Not sure where exactly they're supposed to go. Look what we read in verse 6 of Acts chapter 16. It says, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas." This is such an interesting passage to me. They're on this missionary journey. It seems they go through Phrygia and Galatia with no incident. And then they try to go certain places, but the Holy Spirit stops them. First, they try to go south to preach the word in Asia, not the continent, the province of Asia, where the city of Ephesus was located. They try to go south, but the Holy Spirit says, nope. Forbidden, strong word, restrained. So then they travel a little further west, and then they try to go north up into Bithynia. And it says the Holy Spirit would not permit them. Again, very strong word, stop. Nope, you're not going that way. They try to go south, they try to go north, and the Holy Spirit stopped them. Now, it doesn't say how the Spirit stopped them. Perhaps it was by circumstantial providence. You know, the Holy Spirit does lead through circumstances in life. Perhaps there were travel issues on the road, going north and south, maybe too many orange barrels. Couldn't get by. Perhaps there were weather problems, big storms, north, south, too much delay. Perhaps they were having personal issues, maybe sickness or an accident or something. Maybe they didn't have the right travel documents or whatever. Whatever the case, some kind of circumstance perhaps stopped them. And I think that's probably the case here, because by the way I read this, they tried to go north. The Holy Spirit stopped. They tried to go south. The Holy Spirit stopped them. And reading between the lines, you can almost think that perhaps they were a little frustrated. Where do we go? Now, the Holy Spirit does lead his people through circumstances. The Holy Spirit will close doors and open doors at his discretion. And sometimes it can be surprising. Sometimes it can be shocking. And you need to be looking for the leading of the Holy Spirit in the circumstances. There have been many, many times in my life where I thought I was supposed to do something and the Holy Spirit stopped me and steered me a different direction. Many, many years ago, I believe that the Lord called me on a short-term mission trip to Bulgaria. There was a pastor in Southern California, a friend of mine who invited me along. We were going to go to this orphanage and preach and do different things. And so I got that cleared with our board, bought plane tickets, was getting ready to go. And the closer the trip got, the harder things became. I had issues with my passport, got those cleared up, trying to plow through. A few days before I got on the plane, one of our kids, and they were very young at that time, got very sick. We had three little ones, and I thought, man, that wouldn't be fair to leave Kim alone dealing with that issue. But Kim and I prayed about it, and yep, we'll plow ahead. We'll keep going. Terry, you go. And then 9/11 hit, and all air travel was canceled or restricted. So I never got on that plane to go to Bulgaria. As hard as I tried, the Holy Spirit stopped that trip. And what's interesting is that the very next day when I would have been gone, my home church back in Albuquerque, big massive church in Albuquerque, invited me to come and speak at a Wednesday night service on very short notice. They need someone. And so I went to Albuquerque and I spoke and I shared that very story with the congregation about how I was supposed to be in Bulgaria. And several people came to Christ that night. And one lady after the service came up to me and said, I had to give my life to Christ because God kept a messenger from going to Bulgaria to come to Albuquerque. So I knew I had to respond, and I could never have put that together. The door shut. It was frustrating. Another surprising door opened. The Holy Spirit will lead you through circumstances. And he's closed many doors and he's opened many doors, and I'll bet many of you have testimony of that as well. Now, not only will he lead through circumstances, but also through impression. I am certain Paul and his team were praying, they're thinking, they're seeking the Lord, and as they start to go north or south, they begin to face conflict, and they probably got this impression, this doesn't feel right. Shouldn't be going. I don't have a peace about this. The Holy Spirit speaks. The Holy Spirit warns. The Holy Spirit, the voice of the Spirit, as you are seeking the Lord honestly and sincerely, he'll speak to you. He'll give you impression. Whatever the case, the doors were absolutely shut to go north or south. Now, question. They were going to go north and south to do good things. They were going to preach the gospel, right? They were going to preach the word of God. Why would the Holy Spirit keep them from doing that? Didn't those regions up north and south need the gospel as well? We'll never forget. God sees the big picture. He sees all of the different spots that he places his people in. He has the right timing. As it turns out, the Apostle Peter will go north to visit Bithynia and go in that province of Asia. In fact, in 1 Peter, Paul writes his letter to those saints in those areas. See, God has many pieces on the globe that he can move around. And also, by the way, a few years later, Paul will be permitted to go into province. He will visit the city of Ephesus down in Asia. He'll be their pastor for many, many years. So it's all about timing. It's all about big picture. You may not understand how the Holy Spirit is leading you, but trust him. And be obedient. So in this whole process, they're funneling, the Holy Spirit is funneling Paul and company west. Not north or south, but west. So let's see what happens as we read on. Verse 8. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go where? To Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. So, mark my words and understand from the word of God, the Holy Spirit will reveal the next step for you to take. He made it very clear where Paul was supposed to go. Paul went to sleep one night, had a dream, a vision in the night. A man from Macedonia, "Hey, Paul, come help us." So Paul knows. It's been cleared up. Go west, young man. Go all the way back, further out than where you've ever been, to Macedonia and preach the gospel there. So, brother and sister in Christ, listen. The Holy Spirit will give you revelation for the next step. Now, he can still use dreams today. I believe that the Lord gives dreams and visions. But that's not the only way that he leads, and I would caution you from thinking that's the only way that he leads. Don't sit around for the next several years doing nothing, waiting for a dream. The dream and the vision might confirm. Now, there were a lot of things going on in this passage. There were a lot of factors taking place in the way the Holy Spirit was leading that team. Doors were closing, doors were opening. There's a vision, there's a dream. There is no doubt that that team was praying. They were seeking the Lord together. There's no doubt that they were seeking the scriptures together. There's no doubt that as a team, they were counseling one another. And all of those things together caused them, as it says in verse 10, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. That word concluding is a very important word in the Greek. Soon bibazo comes from a Greek word that means some. Together is what it means. And then bibazo means to uplift or to exalt, to gather together. The idea is they had a lot of facts. They gathered them together, and the sum of those facts determined their direction. And they followed that. Same will be true for you, brother and sister in Christ. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you. Spend time in prayer. Seek him. Seek his guidance in the scriptures. Seek his guidance through the counsel of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Look for the open doors. Look for the closed doors. And by the way, my philosophy when it comes to doors is to be very, very aggressive. If I feel like the Lord is leading me to Bulgaria, I'm going to go. I'm going to try. I'm going to go as hard as I can, understanding that the Holy Spirit can shut the door at any time. Amen? I'm not into a passive form of Christianity. Seek the Lord, pray, find counsel, listen for his voice, and move and let him direct you. So it's off to Macedonia. They know where they're supposed to go. Verses 11 through 12. Therefore, sailing from Tros, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of the part of Macedonia, a colony, and we were staying in that city for some days. In verse 11, it says they ran a straight course. That's a nautical term in the Greek, which literally means the wind was at their sails. I'm telling you, when a door opens, you will feel the divine wind of the Holy Spirit. They are able to essentially travel 156 miles in 2 days. And they find themselves in the city of Philippi, a major Roman colony city in Macedonia. Okay, look what happens to them in Philippi. Verse 13. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. Now, whenever you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life, you will experience surprise. You will experience these little twists, these little ironies, these little connections that you never would have thought of. It's a great adventure. Paul and his team experienced incredible surprises here. First of all, he gets to Philippi and there's no Jewish presence. Normally, as we've talked about, whenever they came to a new city, they found the local synagogue and started there preaching to the Jewish presence in the community. In Philippi, there's no synagogue. They have to do something different. So they find out about a prayer meeting that takes place every Sabbath outside next to a river. Surprise. So they go on a Sabbath morning wanting to meet with the folks there, and there's no men. All of the men are home sleeping. They're doing something else. The women have gathered by this riverside. Paul and company are there. Now, in those days, it was taboo for a Jewish man to speak with stranger women. But Paul did that. He reached out. There's one prominent lady that's mentioned. Her name is Lydia. And from the passage here, we know that she was extremely wealthy. She was a very successful businesswoman. She was a seller of purple, dye and fabric. She was from the city of Thyatira, but she's also hanging out in Philippi. She probably has houses in both places. And she's become very, very wealthy. And she's a seeker of God. And she's at the prayer meeting. And Paul preaches the gospel, and this woman gets saved. She's baptized. Her whole household gets saved. And Lydia says to Paul, hey, why don't you and your team make our house here in Philippi your base of operations? And so this beautiful little house church is formed in that city. And it's surprising. When Paul got that vision back in Troas, what did he see in his vision? He saw a man come to Macedonia and help. So you would think right when he got to where he was going, he'd run into a man. Now he will lead a male Philippian jailer to Christ later, but initially he meets a woman. Surprise. All these different things that the Spirit will do. Also, this woman Lydia was from Thyatira. Thyatira is in the province of Asia. So Paul was not permitted to go south into the province of Asia because he had to go west to Macedonia in order to preach to the gospel to a woman from the province of Asia, who will then no doubt go back forth and share the gospel. All these connections. All these surprises, all these big picture things that the Holy Spirit uses his people in. Sometimes you don't even know or won't see this side of heaven how the Spirit used you. And then, when they get to the city, they've been there a few weeks. There's this little house church. Now, you would think after being led by the Holy Spirit, after being given a vision that, man, there was going to be this great thing that happened in that city. Fireworks. Huge revival. Thousands of souls coming to Christ. A lot of times we think when the Holy Spirit's really leading, it's going to be really big. And yet the whole purpose of getting Paul the Apostle and his team to that city was to plant a house church. And that's big when the Lord is in on it. And by the way, that little church in Philippi, over the years, would grow and prosper and become this beautiful, beautiful congregation. In fact, years later, Paul will write one of his most famous letters ever to that church, encouraging them, the letter that we call Philippians. Now, this is just one example. I'll tell you, you follow Paul's life through the book of Acts, and you just see all of these things happening. All of these different connections being made because he was Spirit-led. Because he listened to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because he was aware. And I promise you, my brother and sister in Christ, the Holy Spirit wants to lead you as well. All sorts of plans for you. Now, Paul, being the Spirit-led man, had much to teach about the Holy Spirit in relationship to believers that he writes in all of his different letters. The Holy Spirit was a big deal in Paul's teaching. Paul does teach that the Holy Spirit takes up residence in the life of every single born-again Christian, just as Jesus had promised. In John chapter 14, Jesus made this promise, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot see because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you, Christian, know him, for he dwells with you and will be in." Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would dwell inside the life of all of his people. And on the day of Pentecost, that promise was fulfilled. The church was born. The Holy Spirit was poured out. And now, the moment you place your faith in Jesus Christ, think of it, the Holy Spirit of God comes to live in you. Never to leave. Your constant companion. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" In 1 Corinthians 2, Paul writes, "Now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things that have been freely given to us by God." Jesus called the Holy Spirit living water that gushes forth. If you're a Christian this morning, you have living water. Have you forgotten? In the scripture, the Holy Spirit is often likened to a fire. In fact, when the Holy Spirit's poured out on the day of Pentecost, tongues of fire, remember that? Burning. Brother, sister in Christ, there is a burning fire in you. Scripture indicates that Jesus was raised from the dead by the power, the wonder-working power of the Holy Spirit. Think of this. Resurrection power in you. Always. Always. The Holy Spirit never takes a day off. He's in you. and with you. William Arthur says, a religion without the Holy Spirit, though it had all the ordinances and all the doctrines of the New Testament, would certainly not be Christianity. Brother and sister in Christ, this is one of those truths that defines the Christian faith. You give your life to Jesus, you're forgiven of all your sins. You become born again, you become a brand new creation, and the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. We need to be aware of that every day. Every moment of every day, don't you think? Holy Spirit in you, wherever you go. Paul teaches in his letters that the Holy Spirit leads you in truth, teaches you truth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says, God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. That text is very important. It teaches that if you really want to understand spiritual truth, the Bible, the only way you can do it is if you're filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes truth known. The Holy Spirit is your personal tutor in spiritual things. As you read the Word, he's the one who will bring illumination. He's the one who will remind you of truth in times of temptation. He's the one who will remind you of a word of truth when you're seeking to counsel someone else who's going through a hard time. He'll give you nuggets of truth when you witness. He'll give you truth to share when you face enemies. That truth, that guidance comes from him. Paul teaches in his letters that the Holy Spirit is the one who empowers Christians to live the Christian life. And again, Jesus promised, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses to the end of the earth. Jesus said the power play for the born-again Christian is the Holy Spirit. He empowers. Paul goes on in Galatians 5 to write, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The Holy Spirit produces that in you. Long-suffering, peace, joy, character. Deliverance from things that once held you in bondage. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You want victory from sin in your life? Depend upon the Holy Spirit day by day. Walk with him. Let him work in your life. Paul teaches in the book of Romans that it's the Holy Spirit who gives you assurance. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If you're a born-again Christian, you have the Holy Spirit inside you, and he will confirm your salvation. He'll give you assurance that you are, in fact, a child of God. Paul says the Holy Spirit helps us to pray. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He'll help you to pray. He might give you a tongue to speak in. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, huge topic, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And then he goes on to list, I don't know, 20 different spiritual gifts plus. Supernatural, spectacular spiritual gifts promised to the people of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit equips us for ministry, gives us spiritual gifts, gives us a calling, leads us to where our place needs to be. Do you believe this? Are you living this? Day by day, the Holy Spirit living inside you. The Holy Spirit, the one who loves you the most and knows you the best, seeking to help you in every aspect of your life, seeking to change you and make you more fruitful, and seeking to use you. It's absolutely a mind-blowing truth, and it's one that we just forget too often. We need to be aware of the Spirit in our lives every single day. Did you know that Paul said and gives us a warning that you can grieve the Holy Spirit? Paul warns that as Christians, we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Because here he is inside us, leading us. And do we take him to places that we shouldn't go? Do we take him into activities that we shouldn't be participating in? Would you grieve the Holy Spirit? Paul also warns that you can quench the Holy Spirit. The idea is there's this fire, there's this passion that he wants to lead you in and use you. Big plans, make connections. And you can ignore him and throw a wet blanket on what he wants to do in your life. Don't grieve him. Don't quench him. Walk with him. Listen. Ask him to use you. Ask him to change you. Holy Spirit is the power play of the Christian life. Without him, we can do nothing. Maybe you're a Christian here this morning and you just needed to be reminded of that truth. You've forgotten. Your Christian life has become boring, dull, uneventful, unfruitful. Man, get back in the game. Allow the Holy Spirit to use you. Maybe some of you are grieving the Holy Spirit by the way you're behaving, and you need to repent and come back to the Lord this morning. I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit, man, there can be absolute total restoration in your life. The Lord takes us back, cleans us up, gets us back in there. Come back to him. I've always loved this beautiful little chorus or hymn that was written many years ago. Come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, sweet Spirit, I pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own gentle way. Come as a rest to the weary. Come as a balm to the sore. Come, Lord, as strength to my weakness. Fill me with joy evermore. God needs Spirit-led people today. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? Lord, you've given us everything we need to live for you, to be witnesses for you, to be changed. And sometimes, Lord, these truths remain academic, theoretical. We need you in our life in reality every single day. And I pray that we would become more mindful of your presence. I pray that we would hear your still small voice clearer than all the other voices that come our direction. Lord, I pray that you would lead many here in ways of ministry, in ways of sharing. Pray that we would be obedient to your still small voice. Lord, we will not be frustrated by closed doors. Rather, we'll look for the open doors that you're opening. Steer us any way you want. Any direction, you're in charge. And we trust that you have big things that you're doing. And Father, I want to pray for anyone here this morning who's never received you. Your head's bowed, eyes closed, listening at home. Do you have the Holy Spirit living inside you? Are you a temple of the Holy Spirit? It is a miraculous transaction that takes place when you give your life to Jesus. Your sins are washed away. You become brand new, and the Holy Spirit does take up residence in your life. Ask the Lord Jesus to be your Savior. At this time of year, we celebrate his birth, but never forget his death. The whole reason he came was to die on a cross for the sins of the world, including mine, including yours. He paid the price. He rose again the third day. And if you place your faith in him, you'll be forgiven. The Holy Spirit will enter in. And it is very supernatural. So if you've never prayed to receive Christ, I want to lead you right now in just a simple prayer. Just say, Lord Jesus, I admit freely, sincerely, that I'm a sinner. I've blown it. Lord Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for my sins, for paying the price for my sins, and rising again. And I invite you to save me. I cry out to you, save me. I invite you to be my Lord and Savior. Take up residence in my life, in my heart. Change me this moment forever. Help me to follow you and live for you. And use my life in surprising ways. We bless you in Jesus' name.